Good morning, everyone. I'd like to bring greetings from brothers and sisters of Zion Alliance Church in Markham. And I'm pleased that I have this chance to share the Word of God with you this morning. I guess most of you has a GPS in your car, right? It's very nice, very convenient, very handy. You are in this strange city, Washington, D.C., first time there, the road crisscross each other, it's just like a maze. You want to go to Capitol Hill, you just press destination Capitol Hill, and there comes all the direction. Prepare to exit highway in 1 kilometer. Bear left, exit in 300 meters, immediately turn left, you have arrived your destination. We're nice. How much we wish we have this same kind of GPS in our life. You're about to have your graduation ball. You want to invite a girl to go there. And there is Alice, Beatrix, and Cindy. And they're all nice. Alice is like the sun. Beatrix is like the moon. And Cindy is like the stars. You like the sun, you like the moon, and you like the stars. Which one I should invite? Ding, there's a text message. Go and call Beatrix. Oh, how much you like. You have this divine GPS in your iPhone, right? Well, indeed, God has a GPS for our life. Of course, it didn't work that way. It worked differently. Psalm 119 said that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. What's a thesis? This Bible is your GPS in life. Be familiar with it, respect it, and it will guide you in a lot of difficult life situations. When we come to Joshua 13 and 14, we find a mini GPS in our life. There it talks about 3 situations for the Israelites and God's instruction to them. We may face similarly these 3 different situations in our life. And may Joshua 13 and 14 will also be God's mini GPS to us in our life. As the chair mentioned, After leaving Egypt, and after exit from Egypt, and walking in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites, they just enter the land of Canaan. And they was about to claim this promised land that God has promised them that they will have. The focus of the book of Joshua is to receive and to manage this promised land from the Lord. And there we see that they will face 3 kinds of land. The land not yet, the land no share, and the land to get. If you turn back to your Bible to chapter 14 of the book of Joshua, in chapter 14, in verse 2 and 3, it says that their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes. This is a land on the west side. Before they crossed Jordan River, 2.5 tribes, they got some piece of land already on the east side of River Jordan. So these are the land that the Lord has promised that they will get. However, if you turn back to chapter 13, verse 1, you will see that they haven't got all of them. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says that there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. So in this first kind of land, God said, yes, you will have it. You definitely will have it. And you have some of it, but you haven't had all of it yet. So these are the land not yet. All right? And then in verse 3, the second half, verse 3, chapter 14, God said to the Israelites, they are another tribe. And it says that near the end of verse 3 of chapter 14, they have not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. So even though the Israelites, they are part of, even though the Levites are part of the Israelites, they don't have any share. So these are the land of no share to the Levites. And they have to learn to accept it. And then in the last part of the scripture that we read this morning, the son of Jephunneh, of Caleb, he came to see Joshua. Hey, you know, we are the only two left over. A lot of people, we left Egypt together. They all died in the desert. By God's grace, you and I are the only one who survived. The rest, they are all punished, and they died in the desert. Now I'm 85 years old. And there is this land in the mountain. I want to get it. Give me the mountain. Well, on the mountain, there are the giants, the Anakites. They are great city wall. They are high up, difficult, but I will conquer them. So there's a land that they have to get immediately. And these are the land to get. Now in our life, we all face very similar situations. Land in the Old Testament is God's rich promises to us, people in the New Testament. God promises us a lot of good things, and we will be facing all these promises of God. But then there are things which God said he will give us, but not all yet. And we have to learn to be patient, to wait. There are good things that God gives to everyone, but not to you. Then those are land of no share, and you have to learn how to accept it. And then there are land which seems impossible, but God said, you go and take it now. So these are the land to get. We have to learn how to deal with the imperfect, how to accept the impossible, and how to overcome the impossible. Today, we don't have time to look at all of them, and we'll only look at one of it, the land of no share. So in verse 3, we just read, the Israelites, they don't have any part. Why? Well, God said, you won't get a piece of land, but instead, each tribe is going to give you some cities. These are called the Levitical cities. There will be 48 of them, and it will be spread out all across the promised land. And you Israelites will live in these cities. Why? Because God has sent the Israelites out. In the early days, they don't have one central place to worship and to make sacrifice. They don't have the temple yet. So the Israelites, they have to spread all across the country to do the sacrifice, to conduct the festivals, and also to teach the Israelites on God's word. So they have to spread out. They cannot stay in one single place. And therefore, there's no point to give them one piece of land. Instead, they get 48 cities, and they're going to spread around and live in those cities. Now, it's crucial for the Levites to understand this, that to accept that for them is the land of no share. If they keep asking for it, they will get very frustrated and very miserable. Oh, I'm just low body. Poor me. Hope I wish I'm born in another tribe. They may blame themselves. Or they may blame God. God, you are just not fair. Everybody has their share and I have no share. Or they may blame others. Hey, you tribe of Manasseh, you tribe of Ephraim. What? No big deal. It's all because of Father Joseph. He got double portion and gave it to you too. So one of you stole my portion. And it's because one of you that I don't have my portion. The Levite may blame others. So if he doesn't realize this land of no share, he will blame himself, he will blame God, he will blame others. And live a life very frustrated and miserable. Just like me. I remember when I was grade 8, that was in the 1960s, and it's the time of the Beatles. When the star of the Beatles started to rise, I started to grow. And I'm ahead of other boys in my class. So I start growing earlier than other boys in grade 8. So I was taller than many other boys. I still remember in the class photo of that year, I was standing at the back row. I was so proud. But that's the only time, all right, I stand in the back row. No more after that. In grade 9, in grade 10, other boys started to grow. And I become shorter and shorter. My only comfort is one boy in the class. I'm taller than him. And here's the nickname, Tiny Tiny Mouse. But the scary thing is that boy hasn't started to grow yet. So he's my only comfort when I stand beside him. And I like to stand beside him. He gives my self-confidence, he gives me comfort. And I could still remember that very day in grade 12 when I stand beside teeny tiny mouse and all of a sudden I discover he's taller than I. Oh, I was so downcast. I was so sad. And I was so mad. From that day on, my comfort is go and stand beside the grade 7 and grade 8 kids. But no more when I get into university. No more grade 7, grade 8 kids. All my other friends, all my other classmates, they are giants. And I'm nobody. More than once, I was in my room in residence. I measured my height again and again, hoping to find that another millimeter of increase. And I was disappointed again and again. I was miserable because I failed to recognize 5'8" is not my portion. It's my land of no share to me. The land of no share is something good, something God gave to many people, but didn't give it to me or to you. To me, it's 5'8". To you, maybe something different. Maybe a good look. Maybe another pair of eyes. Maybe a certain job. Maybe a certain university, a certain education. Or maybe a girl. Or maybe a child to you and your wife. And other has it, but I don't. And are you able to accept that? And do you have that peace of land of no share in you? Now, dealing with this land of no share, this baggage, is very subtle because it's very hidden. When we come to Christ, a lot of sin like lying, bad temper, pornography, sexual promiscuity, those are obvious sins. You know God doesn't like it, and you deal with it. But this baggage of land of no share could be well hidden, very subtle. To me, it hides behind that uncomfortable feeling when I was taking pictures and standing next to people. Right? It can hide, very hidden. It can also stay low and then suddenly flare up at times like so-called middle-age crisis or seven-year itches. And all of a sudden, all this land of no share pop up around. And you're looking for the thrill of those unfulfilled dreams when you were young. And then leading to breakdown in marriage, relationship, and your faith. And it can also hurt a person, like a chain binding him for his whole life without knowing about it. I know a friend. I know him for 10 years. All in these 10 years, he was miserable, sad, no steady job, shut himself up in the house, not meeting people. And the wife is the only pillar of the family. I remember one day I was chatting with him. I will not say I know him very closely. We are casual friends. And while we are chatting, all of a sudden, he brought up something that happened 20 years ago. He said, you know, I was in Hong Kong. I almost got into that university. I studied very well. Unfortunately, the day before the university entrance exam, I went swimming. And then I catch a cold. I had temperature. And I couldn't do the exam tomorrow. And I missed the university. I couldn't get into that university. When I look back, I said, why all of a sudden he mentioned this thing 20, 30 years ago? To me, just a casual friend. Maybe this university is the land of no share to him. That had been bothering him, troubling him, and he not knowing about it all these days. And he knows he's not happy. If other people know he's not happy. Other people don't understand why he's not happy. And even he himself, I would say, may not truly understand why he's not happy. He needs something really to reveal what is inside him. Just like when you get a cancer, you go and do X-ray, CT scan, ultrasound, all kinds of things, try to find this heinous, hidden tumor inside yourself. And in the Bible, there is this good CT scan that the Bible has for us. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Can we read it together? Hope I'm not blocking you. Let's together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. For such kind of heinous, hidden things, it requires this CT scan of our soul to ask God to reveal what is in our heart, and what is in our thought, and what is in our mind. So, what do you do? Have this Bible verse, meditate on it. Put it in prayer each and every day. And use it to reveal your inner world. Use it as a prayer. God, why have I been not happy and lack of drive for the past years? Yes, we go up and down. We may feel bad for a certain time, but maybe a week or month. But if we drag on for 2 months, drag on for 1 year, you better ask God to reveal what is inside you. Why have I been so miserable for so long? Look at your inner world. Use this as your CT scans, pray and ask God to reveal your relationship with others. Why Did I often feel that other people owe me something? Yes, I so much want to get into medical school. He and I, we have the last interview together in that same medical school. He got the spot, I lose out. He stole my spot. You blame others, and that led to some bad relationship. Or you cannot rejoice with others. Your colleague get a promotion. You think you should deserve it. Instead, your colleague get it. He hold a celebration party. He invited you. I'm not going. I don't want to celebrate. You cannot celebrate with others. Find out why. All right? Or you think others don't understand you. You just don't understand me. Well, yes, others don't understand you. Do you understand yourself? Maybe not. Why? Ask God to reveal your heart, your mind. All this miserable feeling, all this bad relationship, all this hatred, anger in you. More importantly, ask God to reveal a darkness in mind. Not accepting this land of no share sometimes could really make our mind dark and our thinking crooked. And we look at things all in the wrong way around us. Like, why did I hate? I'm only 5'4". Why? You know my logic at that time? I'm afraid that I won't get a good wife, a good girl. I like that girl. She's so nice. But unfortunately, she's taller than I. I'm not going to date her. I get this funny logic, all right? A good wife must be shorter than I. And only a tall guy could get a good wife. Who on earth said a good wife has to be shorter than the husband? And who on earth said only good guys can get a good wife? That's garbage, right? But I think in terms of garbage, my mind just stuck, right? I didn't know about it. That's what I said. Who on earth that you must get into that university? Otherwise, that will be the end of your life. But when people's mind is darkened, we can think that way too. So, you have to ask God, do you have that? To have this Psalm 139, 23, 24, to reveal all these kinds of things in you. Otherwise, we may be carrying this baggage for our whole life and it become a bondage in us and not knowing about it. Don't think you don't have any. We all have some. It's just whether we are quiet enough before God and ask God to reveal it. Sometimes God reveals it all of a sudden. Sometimes He reveals it gradually. But after you find it out, so what? I need to overcome it. Well, God also has something for the Levites to help them to get through it. God has three things for the Levites. So that not only that they discover, yes, land is of no share to me, but he can get over it. First, God will make up for it. Second, God has a higher purpose in your life. And then thirdly, God himself will be their inheritance. Joshua 13:14, it says that, but to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance, since the offering made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised. No, they don't have any land. But whenever the Israelites bring forth sacrifices, and for those sacrifices which are not completely burned, then the Levites, and sometimes together with the people, will have a share. And the Levite will always have the first choice, the best part. When the Israelites bring forth their first fruit, they give it to the Levites. When the Israelites make one tithing, they give the tithing to the Levites. No, they don't have land, but God make up for it. They have other things, much better. The same for me. He didn't give me a taller height, but after all, he gave me a good wife. But the way he did it is that he gave me something else, not a height, so that I may have a good wife. He gave me a heart to serve him, the joy to serve him, the maturity to people and to things, so that when a good wife shows up, I'm worthy of her. So he gave me something far better to make up. Now, if instead of discerning this something far better God has given to me, I try to get something better as an alternative, oh, I may do weird things. I may go and get a pair of high heel shoes to raise myself up from the bottom half an inch, right? I may have some weird hairdo to make myself up taller here by another 2 inches, right? Well, I won't get a good wife. I will get a weird wife. A wife who likes weird things, right? So, the important thing is to recognize the better thing that God gave you. And then accept it. And then make the best of it. Instead of trying to find your own alternative, your weird alternative, and end up getting weird things. Then secondly, God has a higher purpose to it. We can read this together, can you? Together. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. God has a higher purpose. You will take up the priestly service. I have a very good pastor when I first become a Christian in Hong Kong. And he's a Hong Kong old-timer. In the late 1920s, he has a very good family background in Hong Kong. So all his brothers, they went into the university. And in the late 1920s, early 1930s, it was his turn. And he's all ready for it. He studied very well. But right at that moment, he caught tuberculosis. Tuberculosis in those days could be fatal. You have to really rest and rest to recover. So he missed. He cannot get into it. His brothers get into, some become medical doctors, some become high officials in the government. But not for him. But God has a high purpose for him. God called him to be a pastor. Looks like a small church in Hong Kong. But if you know the older generation of the Chinese church leaders, Mak Hei Chan Moksi, Chan Hei Him Moksi, Yang Mok Kuk Moksi, Mu Ju Gong Moksi, Lei Fei Mu Moksi, you may not know their names, that's fine. But they are big names in Chinese churches. This pastor, Pastor Wu, he is their mentor. He groomed these great pastors. So, God has a higher purpose. He missed the university, right? And here you see, you have heard the tale of two cities, right? Charles Dickens. Here we have the tale of two missed universities. One brother, he missed the university, and he blamed and he ruined his whole life. And this another brother, he missed the university, and God blessed him the whole life. And he did even far greater things. So, when you ask for something which you think you should, God didn't give it to you, very often, and I know for sure, he has a high purpose for you. Go and look for it. And then lastly, God himself is their inheritance. God said, the Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritances. There's something weird. What does that mean? Okay. If you know the story of Moses, he's a classic man of no share. After leading the Israelites for 40 years, right about they entered the land of Canaan, Moses made a small mistake. And because of that small mistake, God punished him. By the side of Jordan River, God brought him up to the top of Mount Nebo and showed him the whole piece of land. And I said, this is the good land I'm going to give the Israelites. But you are not going to cross over. You are so mean, God. You showed me all the good things and then you said you have no share. And then, Lord, right before, at the end of my service of hard labor for you 40 years, right at the end, you fire me. Just like right after serving a company for 40 years, he gave you a package, and then he fired you. Isn't that mean? So Moses plead, God, please let me get in. He pleaded, he pleaded, he pleaded. At the end, the Bible said, God angry with him. Stop talking about that. Oh, that's really beyond understanding, right? To such a good servant of God. But when Moses died, among all this silence of God, God did one thing very strange. The Bible said, God buried Moses in his own hands. And today nobody knows where is the grave of Moses. God grant Moses a private, intimate relationship which no third party understand. God is silent, but God is just hugging him. A lot of time, when you have this land of no share, you don't understand, you ask God, why? He refused to answer. You get mad, but keep one thing in mind. That may be the moment that God is hugging you the most. I still remember when I was a little child and very poor family. No movie, no TV, of course, at that time. And one day, a relative showed up in our house. He stayed with us. And he took me to a movie almost maybe more than once every week. I really enjoy it. One thing I don't know. This relative, he was a drug addict before. And he is very nice to me. I will enjoy the time. And one day, my mother said, no more going out with that relative. I said, why? It's so much fun. You didn't bring me to movie. He gave me movie. He gave me fun. What? My mom just said, no. He didn't explain. He just kept silent. I don't understand. I was very mad. Later on, when I grow a little bit older, I understand. He was afraid I go into the wrong way with these relatives. But she doesn't want to reveal the relative's background to me. Too complicated. So the only thing that she can do is to keep silent. On one hand, she likes me to be happy. On the other hand, she has to deprive me that happiness. On one hand, she really wants to explain it to me. But on the other hand, silence is only her option. I grudgingly say, okay, I'm not going. I grudgingly say that. But I know at that point, she hugs me in her heart. And then today, when I look back, I cherish her love. It seems that her love is still hugging me. Right? So that's what I mean. Sometimes when God says silent, remain silent, and then you grudgingly obey, that is the time of intimacy. So may this word encourage us in this land not yet Lent Lord's Share and Learn to Get. In particular, in this Lent Lord's Share, remember, God made up for it. God has a high purpose. God is your inheritance. Use Psalm to do a CT scan in your mind and reveal all the darkness in you, and that you can enjoy and rejoice in these promises of God. And at the end, like this Bible verse, Psalm 116. And again, let's read this together and we'll end the sermon. Ready, go? Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.